I call the September 5th, 2023 Committee of the Whole meeting the Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
Right, 7 o'clock. Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Schneider?
Yes.
Commissioner Spector?
Yes.
President Spain?
Yes. Okay, it doesn't look like there's anyone from the public here to make a verbal comment, so we're on to discussion of the beach season pass holder survey that I believe Bobby will be leading.
Yep, so we put in the packet just a little prelude. What I really need from you today is if you want any information from our season pass holders, any information you need to make a decision if you want to change how we're doing the pass sales or daily, this is time to get into that survey. We can also add a question into our general survey that we're going to do later this year that goes out to the community, asking some of those questions. We can talk about that question later on when we're developing that survey. But this is, if you need any information from our pass holders, this is the time to add that into that survey to give you some information. So throw it to Bobby.
So this will form part of the presentation in November of the Lakefront annual report. We're also going to be presenting that to the Lakefront advisory group to get their feedback as well. So like Lisa said, this is our opportunity. If there's any information that can be helpful to the board, understanding the pulse of the community related to the beach, this is the time to collect that. So in the packet, we'll have seen surveys, so I'll just open it up if anyone has any specific questions on any of the questions or additional information they would like added to the survey.
Do we get another chance to discuss that after the questions, or is this
I'm not actually going to go through the individual questions. I was just going to see if there was any feedback on it. I can answer any specific questions if that would be easier.
So my, and it's not a recommendation, it's just sort of feedback, and I'm probably not objective because I'm on the board, so I'm expecting high things. But I get the feeling when I go to the beach or I interact with people there, like checking in up at the top or whatever, and then the point, like, this run exceptionally well, and there's things that don't come out in the survey, like pride and self-esteem of the people there. And I don't know that it makes sense to get into that, but I sort of felt like, you know, it's like, you know, we're the staff were fair, good, very good. It's like even if you said excellent, you're missing something. And maybe you just missed that, but if there was anything, and I guess the only question I had, and it's not the right one to ask, but if you said something like, to try to capture that, would you ever want any of your children to, you know, be on staff at the beach when they got older? I mean, something like that. If you're really interested to see how many people respond. So,
that'd be an interesting question, yeah.
Yeah, there's an excellent factor that I felt this doesn't capture, and maybe you just can't.
It's a very good point. For context, we do get most of our useful information in the comments that we get specific numbers about things. And that, I think, the data is great for benchmarking. But really specific examples are what we use with staff surveys, but any surveys. Here's an idea, here's what, that's what we get really the good results from.
Okay.
That's a good one. I'll keep that one on the list.
Other questions that might be good for the survey is like when we're doing our concert plan, when planning for the next 20 years, how they feel about the beach house, how they feel about the boathouse. We're asking the people that use them all the time, might be good, you know, really good to capture that data on this and use that data towards a comprehensive plan also. So think along those lines too, if there's anything that would be helpful.
The responses to those needy questions on do you like the hours and the weekends are going to be kind of skewed because they're going to. We survey the residents, non-pass holders, with different questions to see how they feel about the beach to get that perspective, because this is going to be, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's
yeah,
to...
it's skewed. That's why I don't know if we should just put those in our community survey. Mm-hmm. That's going to come out within the next probably 3 months. We haven't started down that road formulating those mm-hmm. questions. But I agree with you. We're capturing the pass holders' information. Of course, they like that they're the only ones coming in, right? It's very skewed.
Pass holders are here, Plateau and Northbrook?
Anywhere. Anybody can buy a pass. Anybody can be a season pass. So we do all season pass holders, whether they're Glencoe residents or not.
Because we have the email addresses for all pass holders, or that have a pass holder. So you'll notice in the memo, there's also a QR code outside of the Beach House where anyone can fill that out. Mm-hmm. We haven't had a huge amount, but anyone who does have the opportunity, where we really don't capture the dailies at all. There's no way to get their information. I think Lisa was saying, the community at large, our database, that might be the way to do it.
But again, that would be users, right?
Yeah.
Users, if we did a, because we could do a survey just for the beach to all park districts users, all the emails we have, whether they're beach pass holders or not. But again, then we're only getting the users. And if that's fine with you, we could absolutely do a survey just to that group, because that would probably rub, it's that they go to, you know, see if they go to kids club or they go to camp, you know, maybe they don't have a pass. So we could do a separate survey to them.
And
like,
just see, like
Survey Monkey or something.
Yeah, like why wouldn't they want a pass? Or, you know, do they feel like it's a value, or do they, does it bother them that they have it? It'd be good to just see someone else's opinion. I
can agree.
For us
yeah.
to make that decision in the future.
Outside of the community.
So is that pretty much a consensus? Let's do a survey to park district users from our main database.
Well, I feel like you should, I think it makes sense to target one survey to the pass holders, but then what, can you wrap it into the other survey we're doing?
We could.
Because I think you have people who are going to comment on, you know, wanting dogs to have more access or wanting... or paddleboard storage, or
there
say that there
like
shouldn't
the
be so many rocks on the beach.
Yeah.
You know, like, I guess you want different things, right? I mean, I guess the pass holder, you want to know if they think it's a good value.
Yes.
And I think in why they want the pass, and that's a different set of reasons than what is the goal for the public use of the beach. Like, what does the community want? Especially, too, since the pass holders are not necessarily in the community, too. So
right.
there's that as well. So it's kind of something to think about. What is?
We could do all three. To be honest with you, I think that's probably what we should do. We could do the pass holders as one. We could do a survey around the same time to our general GPD database. And that's open to anybody who wants to give us their email. And then we could also put questions in our big survey. Those results might not be enough to make a decision for next summer, say if it comes out later, but at least we have that data for future summers. So we could ask those questions. Do you think the beach should always be available for daily passes, even if you have to subsidize it more with taxes?
Right.
I would always put that on there, because that's the reality, right? And if they're like, yes, I think it always should be available, even if we subsidize it, then we have that answer, right?
Because at some point we're going to be asked that.
Yeah.
You know, because in COVID, no one was paying that much attention, and everyone liked that we limited it.
Yeah.
But at some point, residents are going to be like, you know, it's not busy, or we're losing money, why aren't we offering that? So if we have the data, at least we can
have that one.
Back it up a little.
Right. And Michael Colby, I met with him because he couldn't come tonight, his son's birthday, and I asked him, what do you want? He goes, you know, I get the consensus of the board. They really like the way it is. He goes, I just feel bad because, to me, we're kind of discriminating against people that don't have those. So is there any kind of, can we put any kind of question in there that would allow if, for example, wording that says if the beach has less than whatever number we decide on a weekend, that after 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock or whatever, let dailies in. So that way the pass holders know that you always have first priority, but if you're not using it, it remains empty, and there's four families coming and we don't meet our debt max, that we're going to let them in. I mean, that was his idea.
We did that. I mean, we had something similar to that during COVID.
During COVID, there was a limit on the number of people who could go to the beach. Mm-hmm. But it was still pass holder only.
Right. Yeah, it was only pass holder. Yeah.
I don't hate that suggestion.
We could ask the question and see what would that. It would be interesting to see if pass holders then wouldn't. Oh, I don't have to buy a pass. I'm going to take my chance that I could get in on a different time for the daily. But then they also, and then we would say, but this would not be available on the holidays and stuff like that. I mean, we could just ask that question.
We have to look at how we train staff to administer that. So that would be a challenge. Nothing possible. We have to look what those parameters look like. So Sunday night is probably the busiest day of the year. Sorry, Monday was the busiest day of the year with like 750 people, which is busy, but I think back in peak COVID, we had 1,250 was kind of the peak on
average, yes.
So just some context. But the compliments of the beach and the friendly people are very complimentary, but you're getting a lot less people, so that's kind of why it's perceived, maybe it's cleaner and better experience for some people.
And the people did leave the garbage all over today, because I walked through this morning and they did not.
Last night after we closed, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were down here this morning. I was leaving staff last night, and there was a lot of people going down the staff.
There was a lemonade stand yesterday, which was awesome. Do we want to ask anything about, or do you feel like the data on that you're getting from the vendors is good enough to like have an understanding of the demand for?
Yeah, so the vendor, I know they set up an Allen Park. They just set up the new woman on business. They came in for Saturday and Monday. She did $250 on Saturday, but $400 on Monday. So those are two of our busiest.
Was that lemonade? That's
the
lemonade?
Physical lemonade stand. Like
was it kids?
It wasn't kids doing lemonade stand. They were all certified, you know, insurance and all that sort of stuff. So nice treat for a hot weekend, but on the busiest day of the year, making $400, it just doesn't make sense for the long term to start a business.
Mm-hmm.
So the vendors are really struggling to kind of make it worth their while.
For the last 10 years, we've tried every model known to man, and it just, there's not, the only way they can make money, and this is how aquatic centers do it, to be honest with you, how great, they don't allow outside food. And that's the only way a concession stand would make money. So you'd have to make this, you'd have to take the stand that we don't allow outside food or beverages. That's how we would, and no one wants to do that, right? That's the only way you'll make money.
So I can see like the absence of asking about it could be a good thing because people are probably going to say, yes, I want everything, and it's just not feasible.
It was the number one thing that came up in the survey last year. So we added the little kind of the snack shop, mm-hmm. and for the say 10 to 12 weeks, we did about $6,000. So we're making anywhere from $50 to $100. And what we're doing is rotating guards and cashiers through. But to have somebody sitting there, we're losing money. And we did it with the vending machines. They weren't making enough money to make it worth their while to come in on Saturday, Sunday to restock. So there's not a lot of really great options to provide that service. And people, it's those days, the tech and labor, it's those days where we closed.
People are happy with the options we had this year. So is the plan to continue that?
It will be, yeah. Because there was really no additional costs mm-hmm. because we have the staff there.
Yep. And if no one's there, then the staff member doesn't have to rotate in. So,
right.
Yeah.
And then we don't have to deal with health inspections because it's all prepackaged food, and we don't have to have fryers and you know, all sorts of expensive equipment in there too, which we've had in the past, which has been troublesome because there's no air conditioning. So it's 120 degrees in there, it starts to be a problem.
I think that works. At least we offer something. And a lot of the schools you go to, it's the same thing. They offer something, it's very minimal, but the kids are still happy.
Yeah, you have packaged ice cream in there.
And the prices were reasonable. People said the prices were reasonable this year, so that was nice to hear.
Any other questions you can think of?
I have one question. There's a question about bringing safety to swimmers, which makes sense. There's a lot going on at the beach, or there's the pier, or somebody could fall in, or somebody, you know, any number of things. But I'm guessing if you just say safety of swimmers, read that, and then there's a comment section, if they have other safety issues, they would just respond. So, yeah, if that's fine, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, there are normally very helpful comments, too.
Okay. Or you just ask the overall safety at the beach.
Yeah.
But that also, that's vague, and that.
Right. Well, people could say, in the comments, they could say, I really want lifeguards until 10 o'clock, till it's dark, right? Or, you know. All right. Do we have anything about rentals in here?
Only how you use the beach, use it for rentals. So the question last year, 95% of the people were NA, so it kind of distorts it a little bit. We can put it in a question, it would be helpful. We did not have a lot of rentals this year due to the number of closures due to extreme weather, so the rental numbers were significantly lower. The board felt it's helpful, we can have a question.
You can add it to number 5. I mean, I don't think anyone's going to say primarily, but maybe. Which is an area that they're going to be should do. And
yeah.
Parties, rentals.
That's a good idea. That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
People might not be like aware, because you can rent the kayaks, right? You can rent other equipment too, not just the tables.
So umbrellas.
Yeah.
Chairs.
Yeah. People were using that yesterday. I don't think I'd ever seen so many umbrellas.
They were so loud. Yeah.
Out before. And
I didn't know there was
a rental center. Yeah, I mean, I had read about it on the website and I hosted a party and I was like, wow, I could rent all this stuff. But I wonder if people just don't know.
Yeah, we can do a better job of that too. It's on the screen on the Snack Shack now. Uh-huh. You can see if you have to go in there. So maybe we can look at a better signage for people.
Or part of their welcome letter or something, yeah. Getting a pass or something.
Yeah.
I mean, not to overdo it, but maybe to that point, like at number 4, maybe putting an asterisk next to beach rentals and putting below, like, rentals include, you know.
As kind of education?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Because
I had no idea we rent rentals.
And chairs. Chairs. Oh, yeah, they're awesome.
There's a combo price if you do both.
Yeah. The chairs was new to me. I didn't know we had them.
I have no idea.
Chairs, umbrella, kayaks.
I mainly just walked down there. So you probably see, like, if you look at how many times I went there, probably shows up as, like, 30, but it's generally just walking up the stairs, walking on the beach, walking up.
Yeah.
That's it.
Good, actually.
Skew the
So just go back to the work field, if we want a separate question on safety, or was it okay in the current question?
I think it's okay. Again, as you said, some of the most valuable information is comments. So if they see the word safety, they'll comment. I'm comfortable with the way it is.
Okay, great.
Do you have the information you need? Anybody have anything else?
I think
we do.
All right.
Again, we'll bring back this will be used for our final report. We present it to our Lakefront Committee and then the board. Later date.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So I think John's up next with a discussion of the renewal of the IT support contract.
Yep.
Thank you, President Spain. Good evening, everyone. So just kind of go over the memo here in the committee packet this evening, our contract with Axe Caltech, who's been our IT outsourced IT provider for the last 12 years. It's at the beginning of next year. So we did get a 3-year quote for from them to extend our contract an additional 3 years. They did have to change the structure of our contract a bit, removing the unlimited labor component, but we've accounted for that and also some unknowns at this point. And still it results in what we feel is a very modest increase in the next course of the next 3 years. So based on that, and combined with the fact that we have a significant project with our servers upcoming in the fall of 2024, and our institutional knowledge will be very valuable in that project. And really, with the cost of onboarding a potential new service provider, our recommendation would be to extend the contract an additional 3 years with Nextel.
Any comments? All right, I think that makes sense. Is there consensus to advance the Xscale Tech 3-year IT services contract renewal forward for approval at our September 20th board meeting? Okay. All right. I think we can move on to the comprehensive plan.
That's right.
Easiest one you have all day.
All right, I just want to give you an update on where we are with the comprehensive plan, and actually James Bach will be here on September 20th doing our community meeting. She'll pop in at the beginning or the end of our meeting just to give an update too. But wanted to fill you in on the community focus groups that we will be doing and the public meetings. So we have, five specialized focus groups that will happen on September 19th and 20th. We have sent invites. If anybody has someone that you're like, I really want them on this focus group, can you please send me their name and email within the next couple of days and I will invite them. We're trying to keep those focus groups to about 12 people, but we do have room on all of them because we send a couple invites and people can't come, so we have room. So if you go, oh my gosh, I really think this person will be great, give a lot of feedback, please let us know. So The first one is 3:45 to 5. That's a civic leadership group. So that is pretty much the village people. So the village, school district, library. So it's their executive directors, and then a board representative is going to be on that one. That has 9 members. The next one is 6 to 7:15. It's a district user group, so that's just a general, anybody who uses our programs. We have a lot of room on that one, so please give me any names for that one. So that's Tuesday. Wednesday, September 20th, we have a community partners focus group from 10 to 11:15. That is made up like Friends of the Green Bay Trail, Community Garden, GYS, GGHP, I believe DJK is on that one also. So all those kind of community partners that you can think of are in that one. And then noon to 1:15 on the 20th is special interest advisory group. So that could be like basketball, hockey, AYSO, GBA, anybody that has kind of a, like they really interested in one program, very more narrow-minded. That is a great group, or if there's any other advisory group in town.
Did we invite Baxton to that?
Yes, he is invited to that one. he is accepted. Then we have a youth group from 3:45 to 4:45. These are about middle school age groups. We do have room on that one also if anybody's kids want to come to that one, if they're in that age group, a little bit older, middle school group. That one's from 3:45 to 4:45 p.m. And then we have our community workshop, and we can take as many as we want. We can take, 120 of this room holds. It'll be more informal. There'll be spaces set up to give input and more broad questions. They'll do that doodle poll. They'll do breakout rooms. We'll have babysittings for that one. So that one is the 20th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. I put cards by your desk, so if you guys are out and about and want to hand these to anybody, please do. More information on the QR code. We are providing babysitting for this one, so this is the only one we're providing babysitting for, free babysitting. You just have to RSVP to Jenny for that one. So please get the word out. We are passing these postcards out to all of our programs, Children's Circle, ELC, GJK, after school programs. Having at the front desk, they're going to hand them out. They went to the library, the village hall, they went to the coffee shop. So we have more downstairs if you need more, run out of them. We are also putting like realtor signs up throughout town. I think we have like 13 of them going up, advertising it. Also go on all of our social media and things like that. So, and the village is going to put it in their weekly newsletter too. So this is a way to really get a lot of input. So these are the focus group community meetings. We're also going to have similar to what the village had, where they had those social spaces where they would ask questions. We're going to do that at our events. So, for example, Mud Run, someone from the group will be out there asking questions and taking in information, and we're trying to find a different couple other big events that we have to. There we have a large amount of people, and they'll ask just different random questions on that. So that's what we're doing for that. So that's what the next big initiative that we're running with. And what I'm also going to ask, if it's possible, our board meeting was switched at September 20th. Mm-hmm. If we could move the board meeting to 7:30, Jamie thought it would be a great idea, is if board members really want to see what the process was like with this big group that you bop in during that, any time during that time. So if we move the meeting back to 7:30, that would give you opportunity to do it. Also stop anybody who says, well, I want to go to the public meeting, also the board meeting. This way we won't have an overlap. So if that's okay, we'll start that meeting at 7:30 and allow you to come in here and listen. Just when you come in, you really can't speak as a group, unified group, because it's not a public meeting. But by all means, if people come and ask you questions, you can absolutely answer them. That will give us a chance to be there also, too, if you thought that might be a good idea. So, any questions?
Is it okay if we come closer to 7, or do you want us to be there?
Nope, you can come whenever you want. I'll be there the whole time. This team will be here there the whole time. Just, she thought it'd be nice if you just, you know.
Okay. Yeah, I would have seen my kids for a couple days. So
yeah. It's probably a good idea.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any questions? And that portion?
Is there any sort of, I know you listed off the focus groups, like let's say somebody's interested in, like I know a lot of Children's Circle parents, I'm just trying to see, is that a special interest, or should they just come to the district?
I would have them come to that big one at the end.
The big one?
Yep. And then if you really have someone really good, a district user group would be a good one for them.
Okay.
That's the 6 to 7:15 on Tuesday. And or the special interest one from noon to 1:15.
Okay.
But for those ones, they need to get an invite from me because we don't want 30 people showing up to those meetings, because then you can't get the information you need out of them. Those are limited to under 12 people. So we've already had that. Like I sent it out to friends of Green Bay Trail, for example. Oh, can I tell everybody to come? I'm like, nope, you're the representative, but everybody else can come on that workshop on the 20th. Because otherwise we don't want one group monopolizing the topic also, but we also want really to dive deeper into questions at that meeting.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So please send any names you can think of, names, next couple days so we can get an invite. That would be very helpful. The next thing we wanted to bring up is that during part of our comprehensive plan is doing a comprehensive safety study of this facility. We did get information back and met with Kyle and Bobby, and they did over many days a thorough inspection of our building. I have to say that they were very impressed with what we're already doing. Joe was very impressed. He's like, you've done a lot more than most, even schools. So we were very thrilled to hear that. But when the initial report back, and we're going to go over the full report in executive session at a later date with all the recommendations, we did see some, I would call, things that we could do immediately during our shutdown, and things that we have changed for this school year. So I want to bring those up. I ask that they stay confidential in our minutes. I'll just say update on safety initiatives. But I'm going to throw it to Bobby and Kyle. Kyle, go first, and then Bobby, about some programming changes we made. Just give you an update of what we were able to fit in during our closure.
Thank you. So, I got the draft report back from Joe Griffins. It had a couple opportunities to make some significant improvements quickly. One of those was installing shatter-resistant film in select windows throughout the building. It provides an added deterrent for glass to be broken and pass through. We also did some door hardware improvements, year. We also have the door alarms that have been installed, which essentially will alert other of us when the next year's door has been left unlocked or left open. And additionally, just general door hardware improvements potentially coming into the capital discussion later in October and November. We'll likely see some opportunities for some security camera and additional door hardware improvements throughout the building. So those are kind of the major things that from a facility security equipment standpoint, and I think Bobby can touch on some of the more operational elements.
Yeah, as you walk around the building, you'll probably notice our emergency action plans are now posted in every single room. So right down there on the phone, you can see an example of it. All the classrooms, all the community rooms, that was an initiative we took to standardize, streamline that this summer. So that's been helpful. We did a lot of training with staff on those. You know, we instituted the badge serving policy in the spring. We've been working on that. That's been going really well. We've also been working really closely with GJK on the visitor reduction plan. So this morning was their first day of car lines outside. So their threes and fours are now going to be doing their car line down by the roundabout behind the gymnasium. And that went really smoothly this morning. Their enrichments are also going to be not in the wing, the secured wing. We anticipate next week to be a little tougher, just a lot more moving parts, but this was a really good ride around this week. So the parents have taken it pretty well. Obviously, change is hard. Both the communication was excellent. We worked really closely on the GJK's board and their staff on that. So we should see a significant reduction in the number of people through the secure wing going forward. We've also done a badge take-back exercise, and we're switching off all non-used passes as part of the system, the security system. So there's about 1,500 profiles in there that are inactive, so we're going to clear those all out because they don't need to be in there. So that's going on right now, it should be done by the next week or two. And then we're going to continue on the visitor reduction plan by allowing visitors, parents to only go through the main early childhood entrance. They're no longer going to be able to go through the GJK entrance, which is on the blue awning. And then some parents will have access, our children's circle parents will have access to the playground doors as well. So the number of available doors accessible for parents is pretty significantly reduced, and that's all being communicated out to parents.
We're also looking into possible technology. We have the badges, you know, on this, and they're looking to see if there's technology to put it on the phone, so it's by phone, and that will be easier to shut off. So we're looking at different technologies. One of our biggest initiatives, however, is training. So we'll be doing training, working with Joe to come in and do the training for our staff. I know Jordan has special interest in this, and anybody's invited to come. And we'll let you know when those trainings are going on. You can sit and listen to them. We're doing both for all staff and then for a special one for early childhood wing.
Correct.
And then we'll continue to roll those out as we need to and use them. He's actually very reasonable in his training fees, and we've been very happy with the service and works with a lot of park districts that have very unusual, you know, both private and public sectors. So, any questions?
I know there were some parents who were very concerned about safety in the early childhood wing. Do they feel like we've addressed their concerns?
So the parents I've met with seem very, very happy. We didn't give them specifics, but I think they're very happy with some of the improvements we made. We thank them for that, as you noticed.
They had a representative that represented the parents. He brought information back, and we were very clear. We're not telling you exactly what we're doing, but they read between the lines and understand what we're doing, right? Because we don't want to give away all of our secrets. But the film on the interior doors in the early childhood was a very important, and we were able to do that within my budget framework, what I could approve. So I was happy to do that right away, so we could get that done.
They're aware of cost sharing too. They're going to be paying for some of that.
Yeah. Yeah, what we're going to recommend, we don't have that prepared yet, is, you know, assess to GJK a safety fee, because this is very expensive for us. So they realize that will be coming. How they raise that money to give it to us is up to them, but we will be assessing a security fee to them. the new door hardware. We had some really old doors and down in that wing that we just couldn't get parts fast enough, and that was one of the instances where someone grabbed a door. It just would short out, so we're like, you know, we can't find the parts. They can't get out fast enough, so we're like, we're just replacing those doors. They were in within my purchasing power, too. So we did that order right away. So things like that. Very, very little things that you wouldn't even think of. He pointed out that we're like, oh, that's an easy fix. So we are very pleased with his comprehensive approach. Once Watts is done, we'll have him go through that building also as we walk through that. So we might be making improvements even after it's done on that, saving some of our contingency for that.
Okay. All right. All right. So speaking of Watts, that's next on the agenda.
Yes. So this... this has been long in coming. We've been working on a particular donor, I think, for 8 years, or how long I've been here, 10 years. So we do have a donor that has approached us that would like to make a donation for naming rights of Watts Recreation Center. This individual was a past commissioner, active in the ICE Center, in the community of ICE for a long time. But ironically, he was impressed by what we're doing that doesn't involve ICE. And that's what kind of pushed him over the finish line. He was like, so what are you doing upstairs? Explained everything we're doing. So what are you doing here with pickleball and deck hockey? He's like, so this is not just an ICE center anymore. No, we're actually changing the name to Recreation Center. It's this community center, that's the Recreation Center. Very impressed with that. He was also very active in twisting arms to get that other $100,000 donation. So he approached us for the opportunity to do naming rights. He suggested a sum of $400,000. In our policy, and actually, ironically, I was going to bring it for an update to change it. We had a dollar figure in there, and I was going to say, let's scratch it and let the board decide over $500,000 if they would like to allow naming rights. So we'd be going against the policy, but that's okay. It would take us time that we could change the policy. Suggested $400,000. Is there a little wiggle room? Probably can go up a little bit. And we would, again, put it a term that's mutually agreed upon for how long that naming rights would be. So, for example, Berlin Park, it was only for, like, I think 25 years, or maybe 50, because of the large amount of the donation. After that point, the family would have to either pay to keep the naming rights, or if someone else wanted to at that time, they could donate money. So we would put that same thing. None of our contracts have in perpetuity anymore. It's a certain amount of years, which usually is about 20, 25 years of life of the building. Or after 25 years, it could stay longer, but if someone came with another large donation, it could change at that point. We did search our records. There was no naming agreement for Watts. The name came from, was a commissioner at one point, and then it was named after this individual because of his advocacy as a lawyer for the Park District, and he worked a lot on the Park District law. Steve Gaines, when he was still on the board, met the Watts family, the heirs of the Watts that was named after, in Colorado skiing, and he's like, so do you guys, you know you're this building's damn, this whole thing? And they're like, and would you be offended if we change the name if we were to get a large donation to change that name? And the family had no interest in either donating money to keep the name on there, and they had no problem if the name was taken off. So we did that due diligence on that also. So
when we did Duke Park, was that donation $300,000?
Mm-hmm. It was $300,000, and it was because of amenities that we would normally have not put in. So, for example, the spray ground, mm-hmm. and the train, for example, those are two things they paid for. It was things that we weren't going to put in. Berlin Park, the same thing. We had no intention of putting a bathroom and shelter on there. The ball field, yes. The bathroom and shelter, no. That's what rose that donation up to $1 million.
I think 400 is a little low because it's such a big center. And I know this building, that was at least $1 million.
1,900,000, yeah. But it was also, as we did the math, well, how many square feet is this building?
85,000 square feet.
85, so it came out to?
I think it was $24 a square foot.
Square foot.
Is what the naming rights was.
Yeah.
And how many square feet is what?
Roughly 14,000.
It's about 3,000, or 360,000.
Yeah, so 2,352 a square foot times 14,000. So $330,411
is the equivalent.
But on inflation.
Add inflation on there. So I see where you're going. Yep. You have to add inflation on there. So
I feel like I need to half. And that's like
half a million?
It's just, it's a big building, and it's the gem of the community, the center of the town. The fact that you're changing it to recreation center, like it just gives it more status. I'm not saying we want to lose this person, but it's just Duke Park for 300 and then, you know, comparing
right.
it and then comparing it to here, I don't know. It just seems too low.
And we didn't even negotiate with him. He gave us a number and I said, I'll bring it back to the board. And I go, is that your final number? He goes, well, you know. So I think there's room there.
And what is our policy saying?
So right now it said it's either $1 million or 20% of the project. Well, obviously we did naming rights for the park for 300.
Well, 20% of the full project?
Of the addition that we're putting on.
Well, the budget though is at 6?
6, yeah. So it's not 20%.
No.
I don't think he's going that high.
I'm not saying. I just going by our policy, that would be.
Yeah.
Do you think he would? I mean, I'm not trying to doubt him. It would be fair if he did a million because then it's equal to Berlin. To me, this is bigger than Berlin. No.
I think because it's amenities. Berlin would it creeped up because there's amenities that would never have been put in there.
That the donor wanted.
That the donor wanted. The bathrooms, the shelter. We weren't planning on putting those in, but those were nice to have, but they were never in the master plan. This is a building that we're putting in the things that the board wanted and the community wanted, so it's a little bit different. Do I think he'll go to a million? No.
We're also getting a grant that covers that, so if we take that out.
Yeah, you're right about that.
We're
take the grant out.
Four.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
you've got this improved facility, but you still have the rink and pickleball area because you have opportunities for two different things.
I think it's really hard to do that.
Okay.
To be honest with you, because when you call it Ross Recreation Center, people you're not going to advertise a different name for the rink. It just makes it confusing. Now we do have different namings on different things, like the fireplace. There's a little plaque by it. There's something like that. He wants to name it right for the building.
I kind of agree with Stephanie here. I think that this is a building like Takeoff that you're going to hear the name over and over and over again. I mean, that's a lot of name mentions compared to these other parks.
Can I be honest? He's not doing it for name recognition. The donor has his name on hospitals, theaters,
college
soccer fields. It's not for name recognition. That is not a need of his. He just wants to give back to the community, and he's been, like I said, very active and a volunteer in the park district. Like, you know, for many years he was commissioner. Berlin's dad was. His motivation was to get his name out. You know what I mean? But I see what we're saying. I don't think we're getting $1 million if you walk away.
Can you go back to the 20% and say, okay, taking away, it would be total project, but taking away the grant. So that's being fair and flexible. And see what he says and say, that would be 800.
So it was 6 million minus 2.5 million per grant. So 3.5 million times 20% is 700,000.
Because at least that sticks to our policy. You know, you don't have to count the grant money, in my opinion, we're not.
Right.
You know, that is First of all, the project was 4.5. With inflation, it is now 6.
Right.
To be fair.
Right.
That's about what it's valued at. But and just to reassess, it just seems like not that we're giving it away.
Right.
And I hear what you're saying. This is a person in the community.
Yeah.
This means a lot. It's like a passion project for them. But then if someone goes to do a park and we say, what, or someone wants to name the beach. I mean, like, it sets a precedent
right.
for us that could be not so great.
I also want to ask if there's anything in the policy about vetting the donor's name, because we want to make sure that even if someone gives a donation, like I'm thinking like the, is it the Sackler family?
Yeah.
You know, we don't want,
no, actually,
we don't want something
some.
Like that to happen. So I'm not accusing this donor, but generally speaking,
no,
or even like the history with the history, historical society, since there's something related to Watts.
Yes.
So I
they
think
said
we
there
may,
was, there's not.
They, so, yeah. yeah, so anyway, just making sure that...
Yeah, our policy says the board has the right to say yes or no to a name. So that's part of the process, is once a name comes forward, I vet it and come back to you and say, there's a little history here in this name, and you don't want to accept it. So it's already in the policy.
Okay.
You don't have to take a donation, and you don't have to take a name. You choose it. You could say, no, this... We did that to Andrew Brindlin won his name on there, and the board said, you're never a commissioner, you has to be named a commissioner. That's why I changed his father's name. But you're exactly right. Because we did, actually, I did a deep dive into the Watts name after historical society leaded to something, and actually there was no proof that he ever voted. It was about the segregation of the beach. And there's no proof that he ever voted in that way. In fact, he was the one trying to make it open to everyone. So
you're not going to tell us the name of the person?
You can't guess. Can I read between the lines?
I tried, and I like cannot think.
I think of a name, but I don't think they're Blanco.
Yeah, they're Blanco.
I'm going to be like, oh, of course, but she like...
Don't say it out loud, though.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Why can't I have thought of that?
Yeah.
So I like to step this point about having it math-based, because then it isn't arbitrary.
Okay.
In the future, it's like, you know, here's what we do, it's 20%. We got a grant already.
This is the policy.
And it's not like we're just trying to gouge him either. It's like, hey, we appreciate it. Here's our standard, and you have to maintain that for
what do you think?
Projects. It's just there's continuity there.
And even giving the letting them know, look, we're going to be flexible. We're going to remove the grant.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's a really good idea to show we're trying to wiggle into our policy, but we're not breaking the policy.
Right.
That's good. That's very good. Marching orders. I like it.
And he knows. I mean, he knows that
he knows.
Right, the policy.
Yes. I don't think he knows necessarily what the policy is. I didn't, you know.
But like Jordan said, it's not like we're giving within the policy. We've
right.
The lowest we can go. So.
Yeah. I like it. That's good. That's good logic reasoning that he would appreciate. Okay. I will keep you updated on that. Okay. Carol.
Oh, okay. Yes, it's me. I sent around a few things yesterday, but if you didn't have a chance to look at them, no worries. So I wanted to give you an update on just what the village comprehensive plan is, partly because it somewhat intersects with the park district, but also I think since we're doing our own, it's just interesting to know what they're doing. And I put together an outline yesterday on my work computer, which I left in the office, so I'm going to try to be organized. Sorry, guys. One of the things I sent around in the attachment, so, you know, you may have seen this, if not, that's okay. But they gave us an outline of what the comprehensive plan is. And in some ways, I think it's very different than what we're doing. And please correct me if
okay.
I'm wrong.
I will.
So it's been an interesting project for me to be on because it's very big picture and it's more about our ideals for what we want our community to be rather than a capital plan or a long-term budget plan or a checklist of items to go through over the next 20 years. Really, we're setting what is the vision for the community, and we're touching on certain policy objectives, but like there's no, is this practical, is this how we want to spend our money? Discussion is not part of the Village Comprehensive Plan, which I think ours is going to be embedded in a little bit with what's practical?
Not necessarily. It's really a vision what the board wants to see the Park District. From that, mm-hmm. we develop our capital project.
Okay.
But in the plan itself, it's not going to say this is a priority 1, 2, 3. It's more of like, what is the residents want to see from the Park District. But we will take that information and bring it back and develop it. A long-range plan, but not necessarily. And the villages, too, whether they're saying they're not, they are using this vision to develop their plan for the future.
And the Village Plan Commission is made up of people like me, or a library board representative, or a school district has a representative, somebody from the Zoning Commission, a couple people from the Board of Trustees. We're advisory. We don't have any sort of, we do things like appearance reviews or signs or like picking a color of brick that we think is best for the community. It's like details like that, but we're not really like changing zoning rules as a plan commission. But this is one of the bigger things that we do. So like I said, we're not actually changing zoning regulations. We're not making a capital plan, and we're not doing a list of action items. It's really kind of goals for the community. So we're talking about things like land use. So like, what would that be? Do we want to, for example, a Green Bay corridor? Do we want to change the zoning for different types of multifamily housing? One of the things I thought was interesting that we discussed in our last meeting was there's certain parking requirements that make it really difficult for a developer to come in and do multifamily. It's not economical. They can't build enough units because they have to have a certain number of parking spaces. So would we want to consider rezoning, or what type of height of building is appropriate for the community? So things like that, or would we want to have different types of housing? We're talking about transportation and infrastructure, so things like, you know, potentially bike lanes, creating the Hubbard Woods District as being a transit-oriented neighborhood, taking advantage of the train stop being there, and what potential, if we had potential to redevelop that, you know, plaza with the Binnies, etc., like what would we want that to look at like? Sustainability, local businesses, equity and inclusion, and then we're talking about just basically governance. And I'll kind of go over some of the actual objectives that we've put together. I couldn't email them around because it's not a final draft, so I didn't want to like make it look out to be official. So the project actually started, I want to say it was last summer, maybe last May, when I took over for Lisa on the Plan Commission. And so we just kind of finished the high level goals and objectives. And right now we're working on neighborhood specific plans. So we're not really done. So we're not anticipating being done with the plan. It says in here that it was going to be Q3 2023, but I think we're in Q3 2023, so I think we're about a quarter at least behind. So then it's kind of similar to us. There was a survey. I sent the survey results around, so if you're interested. They do have a couple questions about parks. They also put together this all-in Glencoe website with a comment map, and quite a number of the comments are park district related, which is interesting.
But that's been there for, I saw that map like a year ago.
Yeah, so that was it.
Yeah, that was it. It's part of this process. So I think one of the challenges that we'll probably have
is building a lakefront restaurant.
Yes, or get putting more sand in the beach.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, there's some great comments. Dog park keeps coming up, right?
There's dog park in every single green space someone's commented.
Yeah, so I thought it would be interesting if you wanted to just see that in the comment map. I don't know if we're going to do anything like that, but I wonder if we'll get the same
We're doing something very
same
similar,
comment.
Kind of similar. Yeah, I'm sure we'll get the same. And we don't know why they got those comments because they didn't ask any park-related questions. Like, they just, what do you want to see the village? And that ends up being mostly park district.
Well,
yeah.
A lot of people probably not realizing, what park district is.
Yeah, yeah.
From the actual...
But we will be... I a while ago got permission from Phil to send that over to our person. So we did send that over to Jamie to include in ours, because it is great data that we're getting in a different source, so we're going to use that as part of our plan also.
And then the village also had different community outreach events, not super well attended, to be honest, where they pick times, like they're at the library or at Writers Theater or wherever, to get community input. They handed out postcards with a QR code, I think. Can't remember anymore, but that you could fill out and provide feedback. It was with the All in Glencoe website. One of the interesting things I thought about the survey was that it had a 17% response rate, which was apparently great.
That is great. Yeah.
That is, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's great. If you get 10, you're happy to be.
So when we do ours, you know, you might want to use that as a benchmark for you know, what people are doing.
Do we know what our average response rate is?
Usually it's 10. If we're looking at 10, we're happy as could be.
Yeah.
So I have a draft here of, you know, what our main objectives are, and I'll try to keep it pretty high level. But basically, objective number one is build upon Glencoe's character. So we tried to keep it in a way that was about preserving what's best about Glencoe without saying that we're not open to change, you know, make it kind of an inclusionary build upon Glencoe's character. So I think the historic character of the architecture was really important. Natural resources and unique sense of place. And I actually think the Park District is a really key component of that.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about some of the things we've been talking about, or even like the trees that you see down Green Bay Road, that's mm-hmm. very important, like to a lot of the members on the Plan Commission, or, you know, the old trees, the beach, but also a lot had to do with, like, I think we really like being, you know, not having those like strodes or strip malls or, you know, that sort of feeling. Like, you come into Glencoe and it definitely has a unique sense compared to some of the western suburbs. So, you know, encouraging maintaining our unique character, but also we've had so many conversations about housing. So some of the data that we saw, it really shows that Glencoe, it's going to be really hard for any developer to come in and build affordable housing, unfortunately. So there is a need. The rental housing available within Glencoe isn't really affordable for your typical employee that might be working, I don't know, maybe even for the Park District.
Yeah.
But the economics of coming in and building some of these, like either like a townhome or a multifamily unit, apparently it's very expensive and you have to rely on a lot of public grants to make it possible to have more affordable housing. Looked at some of the statistics of where the other North Shore communities and what rents they're charging, and they're very high. And just from speaking with developers, apparently it's challenging to actually make it economically feasible to build some of these places, and especially if we're not going really high. And we have certain types of, you know, parking spaces per unit. It just doesn't work out. We've talked about, it's like accessory dwellings, or where you could potentially have a unit in the back of your house, or even splitting lots, like making it, instead of having all these houses torn down to build like bigger houses, is there a way we can redo the zoning code to preserve some of the smaller homes so we're not just all big homes?
Does Glencoe have a lot of free land to build on?
No.
That's exactly what I was
going to
say.
Like, no.
We are like a very small sliver of the North Shore, so I mean, if you're going to compare to like the size of like your building, Highland Park, I imagine they're a lot bigger. They have a lot more room. But I saw a lot of the stuff on that map of like affordable housing for senior housing.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's the thing, too. I mean, it's not just okay, Glencoe might not be affordable, but I think even probably the more, if we're not going to be affordable, there's seniors who want to live here and they want more accessible housing.
Right.
And that's not available. So there's a lot of people who want to retire in Glencoe, but maybe they need that first floor master's
suite, a small ranch
or an elevator or a ranch or something like that. Or even like a townhome unit with an elevator or something where they don't have to take care of as much space as well to downsize. And that's just, it's not, and we talked about it from a standpoint of kind of diversification for Glencoe too. You don't want to be too concentrated in one type of housing or one type of income or one type of stage in life either. You want to be able to make it a place for everyone. So we really have limited options. So really, and most of the developable land, or most of the land in where that is zoned for multifamily is already developed. So you basically need somebody to
sell their property
and then have it in a rezoned place. Or potentially the Hoover Estate, I guess that project's on hold, I don't know what's going on with it. Or, I don't know, if Skokie Country Club somehow went under or something. Like, there's been discussion, well, what happens if we get a bunch of land available? How would we want to zone it? So that's kind of been the discussion. I don't think we have actually strategies in place, but I think...
You're saying a bunch of land becomes available. Are they talking about purchasing land? I mean, that's...
Like, basically, if it would be repurposed, right? Like, let's say one of these golf courses sells, and then basically you'd say the land is now not a golf course anymore.
It's not going to be the one we just got that little tax thing passed on, so...
No, that's public land.
It's public land, but, like, there's a couple of... these are, like, high in the sky, you know, things like these aren't happening. But, I mean, they're discussions that we're having. You're smiling.
It just bothers me because the property on Green Bay, we all know the discussion with that, and we tried so hard to make it, you know, accessible to be multi-unit, and the village would pass it.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah.
I mean,
what's the justification?
Yeah.
The funny thing, so what I heard, because the Plan Commission was actually disappointed that it worked out that way. And we have a representative from the Zoning Commission, and basically they said that there wasn't, well, at least for the latest developer, there wasn't anything in the zoning rules that said the project wasn't allowable. So it almost came off as like they wanted to basically have policies around it for how to deal with it. In terms of like NIMBYism, what this current plan commission wants is to ideally have everything written down about what our goals are so that when the next board has to approve something or something like this comes up, they have a document to point to. But apparently, this has been an issue going back to the 1950s, Glencoe or earlier, where it's been in every plan for goals, and then it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So that's been what we talk about, too.
And it's not just, to be fair, it's not just Glencoe. I know because I have aging parents and all their friends, and they're all looking for the same thing. They're all looking for a ranch or a villa or whatever. For under $500,000, that's like they don't need to redo, which doesn't exist. It's not realistic. And that's what everyone wants, and none of the suburbs have that. No. You know, Highland Park, you can maybe get a tear down and do it for $800,000. So it's, I mean, I'm not discounting the goal of the commission or the value in it. It's just, it's disappointing when you see the action totally against what they're doing. And I realize there's no voting power in the commission, so it makes sense.
Yeah, it's a little bit frustrating.
Yes.
I think it's good that we're at least having the discussion. If we weren't having that discussion, it would really bother me.
Right.
So, there's that. Okay, so we have preserve and support cherished community assets, which include the lakefront that they call out. You know, some of our partners like Green Bay Trail or Botanic Gardens, etc. There's a lot of focus on... alternate forms of transportation other than driving, so biking, walking, you know, how can we I think there's been some discussion too about connecting bike trails and accessibility. I don't. That's really more of a village than park district, but biking is recreation. Supporting the business district. Let's see. This thing is so long. We kind of picked some various sustainability discussions. One of the things that we talked about is that the Sustainability Council is a group of volunteers. They're not necessarily who we want to be necessarily dictating what we do, because it's a group of volunteers versus necessarily experts. But we want to be a leader in sustainability efforts, just recycling, composting, eliminating single-use plastics, etc. Walking. So we have a lot of things that are like aspirational, but we tried to stay away from saying, we have to have something, because it may not be feasible,
right,
economically, and it may not make sense. Protecting the water supply, protecting natural habitats in sensitive areas to foster biodiversity with native planting. So that's something that, maybe we would do.
There were some good comments on the idea about how the park district has done native planting.
Okay, so that's good.
Yeah.
Some support for that. Increase community resilience to flooding and storm water impacts. So I'll be curious to see to what extent our open space supports that too. I don't know if it does or what, but we have a lot of the non-paved area in Glencoe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see. I'm not going to read every.
This one that'll be interesting, because they see this all, and that if they wanted to make it, if you want to turn the parks into water retention or holding tanks underneath, I think they mentioned, look at the trouble we had with our tennis courts, because we have the water tanks underneath our tennis courts. It costs a lot more money. We couldn't really do the project as well as we would like to. It won't last as long as if those tanks weren't there. So the board has to be really careful in the future about what we put under our park land. Even if you say, oh, it's just there, but it'll still be grass, well, then it kind of limits. So you're talking 50 years, just to make sure we know what we want to do with that land. That we have, when we do our comprehensive, we have a comprehensive discussion of, this land we may want to do so with something one day. We shouldn't put water holding tanks underneath there. You know what I mean? So that'll be an interesting discussion, how those parallel.
Didn't work out too well at the beach, with the pipes at the beach, and the beach washed out. We had
right.
Big turquoise pipes.
Right.
Yeah, it's hard to anticipate what you might want to use the space for. Like
20 years from now, and then how that those choices now impact, so that's the same with that. We're looking 50 years down the line, but what people may want, and we don't know. It's like a crystal ball, right? Interesting.
So that
seems to be better. There seems to be less flooding. Isn't there more downstream drainage? Or I haven't seen the underpass on Village Hall, train trip. I haven't seen flooding for a while.
I think we had a pretty dry.
I guess it's been
dry. Spring, yeah.
When, I will tell you this spring, it was the weekend after spring break, there was a lot of rain and the storm water drainage backed up, and we actually got water in our house under the door, because we have the drains were at capacity and the water was over our curb on Vernon.
Huh? Wow.
Same thing with us. We have water in the basement.
That was the storm that took out the wall.
Yeah, it is. Water. The storm that took out the wall.
Yeah, it was very. It was a really expensive.
Like an hour.
Yeah.
That we had, and
We had to put in four drains and new floors, so it was not good. But that was just like one storm event.
Yeah.
So I think it still happens. Maybe it just hasn't.
Rained. It depends more on how saturated the ground is, and if there's a
totally
flow of rain versus a dry ground, and then you just get rain.
You're exactly right. If it's dry and it comes down in an hour, everybody's going to have flooding.
So, anyway, we all have to prepare, I guess. So we talked about, supporting the downtown and what kind of businesses we want, and encouraging regional tourism and visitor spending. We've had discussions about you know, revenue sources, right? The village isn't home rule, which means we have limited revenue raising capacity without referendum. We can't necessarily levy a bunch of new taxes. There's concern what happens if, I guess, if vehicle sales go more like online or not through dealerships, we would probably still get some sales taxes from those because it's the where you're purchasing it from. But, you know, we may see the businesses on the other side of 41 change, and how would we redevelop that, and what would we want that to be? So I think there's just kind of a recognition of we need to have something other than our residential tax base in Glencoe.
Yeah, the five highest taxpayers are residential.
Mm-hmm. That does not surprise me. We've had a lot of conversations about downtown parking. That's a really hot topic.
Should be.
So there's a lot of reasons why that's a hot topic. I don't know if I need to go over it. I think the Plan Commission is hesitant to add more parking because there's a lot of, we could use the land better in the downtown, like maybe redevelop the municipal parking lot into some sort of
garage.
Like actually not a garage, but first level retail and multifamily housing, but there's a lot of parking by the train station that's not being used, that's just as close to some of the businesses, and they did a parking study, and we like just what's normal parking and walking distances, but there's probably a lot of other policy options that can be done, like enforcing length of parking. You could even have like some sort of special permits for people who can't walk as far. There's like lots of things you can do to, or they want to encourage biking and walking to downtown rather than driving. So what could we do? Because any sort of space in the downtown that we dedicate to parking takes away from other amenities that we want. It could kind of destroy the kind of feeling of the downtown.
Yeah.
So that's always a hot topic. I don't think we solved anything in the plan. We're just saying we want to have a reasonable balance. okay. Let's see. We want to have, you know, attract diversity of residents, visitors, and workers by creating a welcoming environment. Definitely, you know, discussion about encouraging diversity in civic leadership. We've already talked about affordability. We want to maintain and expand local access to mental health and resources for residents. I mean, the Park District's kind of part of community health, right?
Mm-hmm.
We want to have deliver excellence in planning, management, and governance. I think we were going to add something safety related, which isn't in here now. Maybe it is, provide a safe and secure community. But a lot of this is just being, you know, incorporate sustainability and resilience to our infrastructure and public services, identifying resource sharing opportunities for collaboration, keep the community involved, including Glencoe youth, keep technology and infrastructure up to date, and I mean, it's kind of what you would expect it to be when I do have the actual objectives that are not in a redlined format. I can, if I think it's final, share it with you, but I don't want to share a non-final copy. But that's kind of, was probably a lot, but kind of summarizing like where the hot topics were, which is
interesting.
Sustainability, parking, housing, and I forget what else I talked about, but that's where a lot of our discussion has been.
Very
it hasn't really been like a lot directly about the Park District. We've
well,
kind of stayed clear.
And it shouldn't,
clear
right?
It. Yeah.
Yeah. And they know that. I know the library is going through their comprehensive plan too, so there's, you know, we realize that, and I'm sure one of our initiatives is where we can continue to partner and things like that, so that's okay, good. Thank you very much. Any questions? Cool. All right. All right. Thanks for representing us so well.
That's way more positive and optimistic than reading these comments. It's really kind of make you miserable.
Really?
There
are some good comments.
There's some.
Give me
the really
tough one.
Well, there's just. I mean, you can tell. You can tell, like, there's someone in yellow that's the challenge, and it's like that same person just commenting over and over and over again.
Yeah.
But they're going way off topic here. I mean, they're talking about reparations and.
Oh, I saw that.
You know, it's. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. And then dog park is on here.
There was one with, like, making a local TV show or something that's done twice.
Desperate Housewives of Glencoe?
No, they said, like, it should broadcast every morning. Like, from where, the village? Like,
what are we going to do a show on?
You just read it, and you're like, oh, my God, the scope. Like, the scope is, like, supposed to be here, and it's like... I mean, we're used to that with the emails,
yes.
But it's like, oh my God, it's kind of depressing.
Yeah, it's it also could be interesting to see how polarizing certain comments can be, too, which is something, you know, I never really like to see. But okay, so Lisa, do we have any other business?
The only other business in your packet is the fiscal or the financial legal calendar. So that's just for your information in there.
Mm-hmm.
Just FYI. Other than that, that is about it.
Okay. Well, unless with that, I recommend a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Schneider?
Yes.
Commissioner Spector?
Yes.
President Spain?
Yes.
Adjourn at 8:17.